And you may be seated. So there was this woman. She was very petite, and she probably weighed 9,500 pounds, soaking wet. And she was in a hurry one day, and she got to the elevator, and she was waiting for the doors to open up. And when they did, they revealed there was this man with this enormous dog. The dog was as big as she was. I mean, it was one of, I don't know if it's a Great Dane or whatever, but just this huge beast that's like had this big head and just very ferocious looking. And the man really went with the dog because he was very ferocious looking too. He was about 6'5", weighed about 350, and it wasn't fat, it was all muscle. He was just this big guy with this big dog. And she suddenly had like this, you know, you have this fear that sermon comes, you know, this flight or fight thing, and she had this sort of fear that ran through her, and the adrenaline was in her body, and she didn't really know what to get on or not, but you know, they were there, and so she took a deep breath, and she stepped on, and she got in, and the doors closed, and she heard the man behind her say, "Lady, lay down," and it scared her, and so she laid down. And then the doors opened and the man got off and he turned around and he says, "Lady, I wasn't talking to you. The dog's name is Lady." So so sometimes we get mistaken, right? We hear the wrong message. And so sometimes around Christmas, there's all sorts of sort of mixed messages that are out there because we've got all these traditions and all these kinds of stories that go along with Christmas that you know, and there's seems like more and more every year, and some of that is great fun and is part of who we are, but sometimes it gets tangled up, and sometimes it gets tangled up into the story of our Messiah's birth. And so we've been through the last few weeks, man, it seems like that, doesn't it? But the last few weeks we've been in a series called Untangling Christmas, where we've been looking at some of those things from untangling Advent and Christmas together, because it really is important for us to experience Advent and the waiting before we come to the manger and celebrate the birth. But also just some things that maybe we have taught and contextualized and put into the story that maybe, you know, might send us down a wrong slope somewhere. And so this week, I've been sort of following the candles that we're using, and so we got to the angels this week, and I'll just give you a true confession that the bulletin stuff that we do, we've had printed way in advance because there's been so much stuff going on. We just got all the stuff turned in, so I had to give the title of this sermon about a week and a half or 2 weeks ago before I'd even begun to think about what it was going to be about. And so as I got down this week to start talking about, and the title of the sermon, if you read it, is Wrestling with the Angels. And I thought, well, you know, that's a great metaphor to go in, and it's Untangling Christmas, and we'll look at that because there's so much confusing stuff about angels. I realized that we're at the point in our Advent journey where we really don't need to untangle the angels as much as we need to listen to the message of the angels. And so most of our message this morning is going to be looking at that, because the angels are a part of the Christmas story for sure. There's actually four mentions of angels in Matthew and Luke. The Christmas story is found in Luke's Gospel, the one that we're most familiar with. Matthew is also a familiar telling and tells it a little bit different. The other two Gospels, really, although I would make the case that John also has a birth story in there, but it's a lot more cosmic when John talks about, you know, the Word becoming flesh and dwelling upon us. It doesn't tell the birth story in the traditional way. The traditional stories that we know come from Matthew and Luke. A couple of weeks ago, we heard from Luke's Gospel. We'll hear from it again tomorrow night. But today, we're going to look at the telling in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. And we're going to start about verse 18 if you want to follow along in your own scriptures. But this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." And when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. And this is the word of God for we, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Some children see him lily white, the baby Jesus born this night. Some children see him lily white, with the tresses soft and fair. Some children see him bronzed and round, the Lord of heaven to earth come down. Some children see him bronzed and brown, with dark and heavy hair. Some children see him on the night, the Savior whom he kneeled beside. Some children see him on the night, with skin of golden hue. Some children see him dark as day, sweet Mary's son to whom we pray. Some children see him dark as day, and oh, they love him too. The children in each different place will see the baby Jesus' face, like theirs, but bright with heavenly grace and filled with holy light. Oh, lay aside each earthly thing, and with thy heart as offering, come worship now the infant King. 'Tis love that's born tonight. Thank you. 'tis love that's born tonight.
I love it. Love that carol. I learned it as a youth, I guess. We sang it as a chorus piece when I was in high school. James Taylor recorded it a few years ago on his Christmas album. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful album. It's a beautiful song, a beautiful message, right? An important one for us to hear. That tomorrow night that we celebrate that God so loved the whole world for all time, that God gave His Son who came to earth as a little baby. And that is as relevant today and as important today in our context and time as it was in the first century, as it was in the 14th century. It fits into the context whether we're here in our country or whether you're in the Philippines or in Korea or in Kenya or Ghana. Because those places, those other countries are where the church is really exploding and growing right now. And so that Jesus can come alive and can have meaning and fit into the context wherever we are, whatever we're going through, Jesus will meet us where we are because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so as a little child, as I learned the story and I put on my bathrobe and went down to be a part of the manger scene with the little girls that were wearing the repurposed cherub costumes I learned that story within that context, and it met me where I was, just as it has met every person for all time. It meets us where we are in our context. But here is the place where we can get tangled up. This is the slippery slope that we can get in, because this story that we celebrate tomorrow night is not a myth. It is not a legend. It is an historical event with a real baby being born to a real mama. And they were Jewish. And they lived in Bethlehem. Or they lived in Nazareth and they had come to Bethlehem. And so there's this context of the story is really real. But yet in our endeavor to make it real to us, sometimes we kind of put other things in the story. And that's okay, you know. We have this entire side story, for example, of the innkeeper. The innkeeper is not in the Bible. Says there was no room in the inn, but yeah, we've invented this whole legend around that, and I'm not condemning it. Maybe there was an innkeeper. There probably was, but it's not in the Bible. We've invented this whole songs and all things around the innkeeper, and I just want to say that is so important as we look at the message, to hear it in its clearness, and hear it as it is, because it meets us where we are, and yes, we'll contextualize, and we'll see Jesus as we see Him, because He sees us as we are. And so the important thing is to know Him and experiencing where you are, whatever race, whatever country, whatever time, whatever place. Jesus comes and meets us where we are. And it is a story, the story of stories, of God's love for us. And we celebrate tomorrow night. Are you excited about that, about this birthday party we're having tomorrow night? Because I got to admit, you seem a little bit kind of subdued this morning. And that's all right. I'm tired too. I went to Cleveland yesterday to my brother's house for the family get together up there. So it was a long day. So it looks like you guys have had long winter days as we're gathered here. But here's this good news of this birth of this Jesus that's coming again. And it's already come. And so we're celebrating this morning as we're sort of untangling angels. And, you know, as I said, I grew up with this image of angels as, you know, they had to be, no boy would ever play an angel, right? You know, that was a girl thing. But yet, as you read the Bible and see the context, you see that And there's a whole argument, was did angels even have any gender? But all the angels that we read about in the Bible are male, or most of them are. And angels is a thing. They're in 34 of the 66 books of the Bible. So more than half the books of the Bible talk about angels at some place. And there's even this whole side study and systematic theology of angels and who they were and what they were. And it doesn't get talked about enough because it can get really weird pretty quick, and people have a lot of legends and myths. And, you know, when every time you hear a bell rings, an angel gets his wings, and, that when we die, we get our wings and become angels. And, you know, that none of that's biblical. None of it's probably really harmful. But understand that this is a real time and a real story. And so it's important for us to hear it. And so this morning, rather than kind of espousing the theology of angels, let's remember the message of the angels, because they're important for us to hear, just as important as they were for them. They were for specific people in a specific time, but they can come into our context as we are today and remind us of how God is with us. The first person I'd like to talk about, there's four times in the two chapters where we hear about angels. And the first one was with old Zechariah. Who is old Zechariah? Who is he? Dad, right? And he had a wife, and her name was Elizabeth. See, I'm doing this participatory thing to draw you in. That's right. And so I'm calling him old Zechariah because he was an old man, okay? And he was, the time came for his turn to go into the holy place in the temple and to be the priest at that time in that place. He had always wanted a son or a child. They had no children, he and Elizabeth. But one time in your life, if you get to go into the Holy of Holies and do these things that are really bringing about the atonement, the redemption of the sins of the people at that time. And so it was time for old Zechariah to go into this place. So he was there by themselves. And they say, here's one of the legends that around that, is that they used to tie like a rope because people would get in there and it was such a holy time, they'd have such a holy encounter that sometimes they would pass out and they'd have to drag them out. And so Zechariah's going into this place to do this thing, and he meets this angel, and this angel tells him of the prophecy that he is going to have a child with, and he was giving him all these details about what's, because his child was going to be John the Baptist. He was John the Baptist's dad, and that he was going to be the witness before the Messiah to come, and all this stuff. And at some point, old Zechariah says, time out. You don't understand. This ain't going to happen because we're old. We're old people. She's way past childbearing years. This isn't happening. And so what happened? This is a paraphrase, okay? All right. I'm putting it in the context. But what happens was the angel said, well, because you haven't believed, this is going to happen, by the way, and because you haven't believed, you are going to be mute for, it's a moot point, and you become mute. All right. So you're going to be mute for until the baby is born. And so, you know, he came out, he could not speak. And so, you know, just, but the point in all that is this message that of the Messiah coming, that in order to hear it, sometimes we have to be quiet. We have to be silent. And so there's this message, and this first message of the angels that I'd like for you to hear today is that Christmas begins in silence. In silence. If we're so noisy, if we got music playing so loud, if we got too many things in our schedule, we are going to miss the message. And sometimes God just enters in such a way that just makes us have to be quiet. But so much better if we can find that quiet and stillness for us. And then the second person that I wanted to talk about was Mary, who Joshua talked about last week. So We've heard about her recently, but Mary, the one of whom God highly favored and came to and gave her this message. And there was there's one little mess part of the angel's message where it talks about that God is faithful to His promises. God is faithful, and so this word that is going to begin will come true. That God is going to carry out. Because I know there's a lot of us gathered here, and maybe you think that hope has passed you by. Maybe you think and you're doubting because of what you're going through. Is God's Word going to endure? Is it going to be delivered? And the message in that from the angel for us to hear is that God is faithful to keep God's promises. And then there is the message that came to Joseph. And in the message, it talks about that a Messiah was coming that would save us from our sins. And in this sin-torn world, in this dark and weary world, where there's broken relationships, broken laws, broken marriages, broken dreams, broken all, you know, so we just live in a broken world. And God comes to bring about healing and restoration and salvation and to forgive us of our sins and for us to hear that mercy and that grace and that hope. And so that message from Angel Gabriel, I hope that we can hear in our context this morning. And then the shepherds, they were the fourth bunch. And it says in the King James Version, it says that they were sore afraid. They were terribly afraid. They were terrified. Is what they were, because an angel came to them. And sometimes we've joked about that. But I don't think that they were, because being out there, you know, they were looking up at the sky a lot at night. They were aware of things, and so I think they were more startled. And he comes and tells to them, he brings good news of great joy. And we see, if they were afraid, if they were startled, if they were sore afraid, we see them change. And their fear becomes joy. Their fear becomes joy. And so to each of us, because in each of these stories, the angel begins the message with saying, fear not, right? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Says that, the angel says to all of them. It's probably the most important message for you to hear this morning from the angels. Don't be afraid. Look at me. Don't be afraid. This world's a scary place. You know, we come here and we look all secure and happy. But I know that there are things going on in your life and your world that you've got fears about. You're afraid about. You don't know the answer, and you want to control it or it's out of control. Don't be afraid. Hear the angels. Fear not. In most of these cases, in all of these cases, maybe, God was calling them. I think the reason he was saying fear not was don't be scared, don't be a scaredy cat or whatever. I think he was saying fear not, don't be afraid. God is calling you to do something. God is calling you to do something that's going to cause you to have to step out of your comfort zone. You're an old man. You're going to have to raise a young son. You're going to have the faith to believe what's involved in that. To Joseph and to Mary, you know, you're a young teenage couple and this thing is going to be crazy and there people are going to talk about you, but I've chosen you to raise my boy. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And to each of us, he says, don't be afraid, because God is calling you to something too. I mean, maybe you're the person that needs to hear it because of the state you're in, but I'm guessing that for many of us, it's because of what God is calling us to do, to step out of our comfort zone into this world that is so weary from sin that it needs to hear a message of hope and good news. And that takes courage. And we're afraid, so fear not. Don't be afraid. Take those steps. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he's got a pretty great church. It's not near as great as ours, but it's still a pretty good church. And they do a lot of the things that we do with bringing the hope and reaching out in mission and ways. And so he was telling me the story, which I just had to share. This could very easily happen here, but I heard it from him, so I'll tell it this way. But they have part of their, one of their ministries that they do is bread delivery. And so he had a group of folks. They got, I think, with one of the bread companies that's local there. They get the bread, day-old bread, and they take it out, and they go into impoverished areas and places with low-income housing, and they distribute bread. And so this these couple of guys were out doing that this past week. And they came up to the door, and as they got close to this door in this apartment building where they were delivering bread, they could hear yelling and screaming going on inside. And it was very clear that the couple had a knockdown, drag-out argument. And so they stood there and they thought, well, maybe we shouldn't get involved with this. Let's just go on. But something told them that they needed to stop and they needed to respond. And so they knocked on the door. And the yelling stopped and the door opened and the husband said, what do you want? And he said, well, we're just here. We don't really want anything. We're just here and we've got some bread and we wanted to share it and wanted to know if y'all wanted some bread. And, he said, why are you doing this? And he said, well, we're just sharing bread just so the people will know that God loves them. And so we just want to know you to know that God loves you. And we're just you know, want to give you some bread if you want it. He said, the man got very quiet and he said, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. You don't know how much this means. Yesterday, we buried our 3-week-old child. And today, you are coming with bread to tell us that God loves us. And he turned to his wife and said, I told you that God hasn't forgotten about us. You never know what God may call you to do. And you know, as I tell that story, it seems simple, and I know we do things like that, but it took courage in that moment to take that step, to walk into that situation and bring the hope of Christ. And that could be you. It is you. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Hear the message of the angels. The familiar story. Songs that we've sung and we've heard all our lives. But they remind us that the herald angels sang glory to the newborn king. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. This is the hope that the world needs to hear. This is the hope that we have this Christmas. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Our closing hymn. Let me ask you something that might sound like kind of a strange question, but do you have access to a baby this Christmas? Somewhere, baby, grandbaby or something, because it's really great if you do. There's a couple that kind of float around the contemporary service. I mean, they got parents and all, but people are holding them. So I actually had Emerson, who is Amanda and Stephen Scott's little girl, come down, and I had somebody hold her so that I could talk about it. But, you know, you holding a baby at this time of year and realizing just how incredible it was that the Savior of the world, the love of God, came in this little tiny thing with these little tiny fingernails. And, you know, and while I was talking to the 9:30 service, Emerson spit up. And yeah, I mean, Jesus did that. That's what babies do. It seems so incredible. It seems so strange. It seems so remarkable. And if God did that, God can work through you and me and any of us. And so, if you get ask the parents' permission, but if you get a chance to hold a baby sometime in the next week or so, and just let that be an act of worship for a second to remember, you know, that this is how it began. That, you know, so many years ago that Mary gave birth to Jesus, a real baby who was Jewish, but yet grew up for all of us, white, black, brown, you know, all the hemispheres for all time. He came for us. Go and announce this good news of great joy that Christ has come. Amen.